guys wanted to go to something. Y'all like, that's not a Wednesday song, amen. That's a worship song, amen. That's an exciting song.
Genesis 27, 19 reads, "And Jacob said unto his father, I am Esau, thy firstborn." Now, what was he telling the truth or was he lying before we go here? Was he telling the truth or was he lying? Was he telling the truth or was he lying? Who purchased the birthright? Right? Wait a minute. Who purchased the birthright? Right. So he purchased, we're going to go over the lady. Even though Jacob purchased it, even though he said, I am Esau, thy firstborn, he was not lying. Because he became in Esau's stead. Right. Once we go through the scriptures, you'll see it a little clearer. If you remember, we'll go over it a little later, when Reuben committed incest with his father's concubine. Then in the 49th chapter of Genesis, when Jacob was giving out the blessings, he said of Reuben, you cannot be the firstborn anymore because you violated me with my concubine. So the blessing that should have been Reuben, who was the firstborn, was passed on to Ephraim and Manasseh. Right? So that was just one of the things that happened, yes. He became the firstborn. Exactly.
I received that.
Yes.
He was not Esau.
He wasn't Esau. Right. But he was in the stead of Esau because he purchased it. So he couldn't. He couldn't say that the purpose is not the name, it's the purchase, the birthright that we're focusing on. All right, so it's not the name of he wasn't Esau, but by all means, he was in the place of Esau, so he could say, I'm Esau because I'm the firstborn. Because he purchased the what? Birthright. All right, we'll go over it a little bit here. All right, before we get to too many debates. All right. Amen. So he said, I have done according as thou badest me. Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat of my venison, that thy soul may bless me. Most translators and commentators say what you all say. That Jacob is lying and deceiving Isaac when he says, I am Esau, thy firstborn. What we must remember is that Esau sold his birthright as the firstborn to Jacob in Genesis 25:31-33. It covers it. Now the question is this. Esau knew that he had sold the birthright. When his father called him in to say, I'm going to bless you because you're my firstborn, he should have said, Dad, I have to tell the truth. Right? So the lie wasn't Jacob. The lie was who? Esau, and like I said, we'll prove it until we get to the scripture a little later, all right? But he should have said, I sold that birthright. I can't get the blessing. So who's living the lie? Esau, right? Because in Hebrews calls Esau a profane and fornicator. All right? So I'm just trying to help you out a little bit, all right? Okay, so let's keep going. All right. What we must remember is that Esau sold his birthright as the firstborn. Therefore, Jacob has spiritually and legally replaced Esau as the firstborn, as confirmed by the word of God in Romans 9:11-14, in which Paul states, it is written, Jacob have I, but Esau have I. Now, will God love someone as a liar and deceiver? Think about that. Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. All right. Now let's go to Romans 9:11-14. For the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the what? Purpose of God, according to the election, might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger, as it is written, Jacob have I love, but Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is there? We know there is no unrighteousness in God. God forbid. Now let's compare Romans 9:11-14 with Hebrews 12:16-17. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as? Well, I thought the liar and deceiver was Jacob. So who has God's favor, Jacob or Esau? Jacob. Amen. So that sheds a little more light on it. He didn't lie. But what can he say? What would Jacob say? Well, I am Jacob, but Esau sold me the birthright. So how can he represent the truth when Esau had already represented a lie? How does he correct that? Right? So he just had to go along with the program. And I guess it was a little white lie, God forgave him. Right? Because he loved him, but he hated Esau. Alright, so it says, lest there be any fornicator or profane person is Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. Well, who rejected him? Jacob? Who rejected him? God rejected him, right? For he found no place of repentance, though he sowed it carefully with tears. These two verses shed even greater light on which of the two brothers was right, was in right standing with who? God. Who was in right standing before God? Jacob. And we know God does not like liars, but who's the father of all liars? The devil, right? He's the father of all liars. He was a liar from and a murderer from the beginning. Amen. The scriptures clearly state that God viewed Esau as a fornicator. And fornicator in the Greek is immoral. It's Greek 4205, pornos. Amen. From which we get our word pornography. All right. From which we get our English word pornography. Porno means to sell off as a male prostitute or to commit immoral sexual acts as in false god worshiping. And profane person means godless, Bebelos, worldly, heathenistic, wicked. Bebelos, an adjective derived from beno, means go, and belos, a threshold to enter a door. All right, so bebelos means entering a threshold, entering a door, properly, a threshold to enter a building, properly, improper, authorized entry. That's what profane means. What do you say? Unauthorized, you got it. Literally crossing a threshold, which profanes because of improper entrance. Profane because of improper entrance refers to people unfit to access God because they approach him apart from faith. Bebeos, what is sacred to God, is often carelessly tried on or over by people that is profaning what should be hollow. In essence, what it's saying is Esau should have treasured the birthright. Because not only did he get the blessing, but he got the spiritual inheritance that came along with the blessing. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Right? That puts him in a whole different class. There's only three in the Bible that had that distinction. Well, it should have been the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Esau, but Esau did not consider the sacredness of his birthright, and he sold it. Amen? God rejected Esau because he did not regard the sacredness of his birthright. Esau sold the sacredness of his birthright in order to supply his fleshly desire. Once again, it's important that we allow the scriptures to interpret the scriptures so that we don't wind up in error. God knew in his foreknowledge that Esau would be a spiritual fornicator, a sinner. Therefore, he prophesied that the older would serve the younger. That's in Genesis 25:23. The older would serve the younger. The word of God gives us another illustration for a firstborn who was rejected and lost the blessing associated with the birthright of the firstborn. Reuben was rejected because he was a... Now, the difference is, I guess Esau was a dual fornicator, right? Because his fornication was spiritual and it was also carnal, right? But Reuben's fornication was all carnal, amen? Genesis 35:22 reads, and it came to pass when Israel dwelt in that land that Reuben went and lay with Bilhah, his father's concubine, and Israel heard it. Now the sons of Jacob were 12. Now, you're going to go to Genesis 49, 3 through 4. This is when Jacob is about to expire, and he's passing out the blessing to his 12 children. He says, verse 3, Reuben, thou art my firstborn, my might, and the beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity and the excellency of power, are stable as water. Thou shalt not excel. Why? Because thou wentest up to thy father's bed, then defiled thy head, he went up to my couch. Then 1 Chronicles 5, 1 really explains what Jacob was saying. Now the son of Reuben, the firstborn of Israel, for he was the firstborn, but for as much as he defiled his father's bed, his birthright was given unto the sons of Joseph, the son of Israel, and the genealogy is not reckoned after the birthright, because it should have been according to Reuben, but because of his fornication, Ephraim and Manasseh replaced him as the firstborn. That's why when you get through the scripture, the Bible keeps talking about, you see, it keeps talking about Ephraim. Well, how does Ephraim get all the way ahead of everybody else? Because they replaced Reuben as the firstborn. Amen? I brought this up because Reuben being rejected because of the fornication, so that we can better understand that it is a common practice of the firstborn being rejected in Hebrew history because of walking out of favor with God. That's what it really means, all right? So Genesis 27, 20. And Isaac said unto his son, how is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son? And he said, because the Lord thy God brought it to me. Now, Jacob, Isaac is, he represents something different. Because the whole time he's talking to Jacob, he thinks it's Esau. Right? Even at the end, because he knows the voice of Esau. But for some reason, he goes along with the whole thing, knowing that he was doing the wrong thing because it was God's will. It was God's providence. It was according to the election. Jacob first claimed that it is because of an encounter with the Lord that he was able to come to Isaac in a prompt fashion with the prepared food. In fact, while it may be stretching to call this speedy delivery a miracle, it is true to say that it has resulted from a face-to-face meeting with the Lord. That meeting was between Rebekah and the Lord prior to the birth of Esau and Jacob. And this is when he tells God, the Lord tells her that the younger shall rule over the older, and the older shall serve the younger. Thus it is very clear that Jacob is aware of Rebekah's meeting with the Lord. Notice that Jacob places specific emphasis on who brought it to me? Thy God brought it to me. The Hebrew word that Jacob uses for brought is kerah, appointed, send good speed, caused it to happen. All right, and so he said, when he said brought, he said, God caused this to happen. Amen. We get a better understanding of what Jacob is actually saying if we compare this verse with the prayer that Eliezer prayed when Jacob's grandfather, Abraham, had sent Eliezer to secure a bride for Isaac from Abraham's family in Haran. And he made his camels to kneel down. This is Genesis 24, 11 through 15. He made his camels to kneel down by the city wall in verse 12. And he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed, which is Kara, this day, and show kindness unto thy master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I can't, what's younger than that next line? That I may drink, all right? She shall say drink. Keep reading up the emphasis, because I got Right. Keep going. This helps to ease Isaac a little bit more, but we will see that he still has some skepticism as to who it is that he is speaking with, as we will see in the following verses. Now, Genesis 27:21. And Isaac said unto Jacob, come near, I pray thee, that I may... Well, he knew his son's voice, so he does not feel comfortable with what this transaction has taken place. But remember, we read earlier in the first verse, it said that his eyes were dim, and we said he didn't really mean a natural dim, but it had spiritual implications. All right, so it wasn't just a blindness naturally, but it also was a blindness spiritually. All right, because spiritually, he within himself, he's like, this is not right. But he keeps going because he is blinded spiritually. The scripture says, having eyes, say what? See not, having ears, say hear not. Amen? Isaac appears to have heard something in Jacob's response that caused him to doubt his identity. Can it be possible that Isaac found the idea of Esau using God's name somewhat unusual, especially in light of Esau's rejection? So I was like, wait a minute, that don't sound like Esau talking about God. Remember, he married the Canaanite woman, and he was a man of the field. He didn't talk about God. So Isaac is here. This is, wait a minute, Esau, God, right? So there's a whole lot of stuff going on for Isaac right about now, but he still allows his emotion. Right? He allows his spiritual blindness to lead him. Amen? Esau's rejection of the symbol of the family faith and by his marriage to women who worship foreign and strange deities. Genesis 27:22. And Jacob went near unto Isaac his father, and he felt him and said, listen to what he says. To what? He said, wait a minute. I know Esau's voice, but the voice is, but the hands are the hands of Esau. Notice that Isaac is once again using his carnal or fleshly mind in an attempt to discover a spiritual truth. The Hebrew code for voice can be understood to refer to the way a person speaks, that is, their manner, choice of words, and subject matter. Therefore, when Isaac says the voice is Jacob's voice, we can also read it as the voice speaks using the kind of language that Jacob would use, but not Esau. Amen? We see that Isaac himself recognized that Jacob's nature was godly and spiritual, whereas Esau's nature was. But the question is, knowing this, why would Isaac still try to pass on the blessings, the Abrahamic covenant blessing, to someone who was ungodly and worldly? Because he was allowing his emotions. He was allowing his spiritual blindness to lead him into error. Thank God that Rebekah and Jacob intervened. So that the blessing of God was not marred So the blessing did not get tainted with a bunch of heathen women. Amen? Let's do one other comparison just to show that Jacob's manner of speech was very different from that of Esau's. Jacob says to his father, "I pray thee sit," suggesting that Isaac comfortably and delicately dine at the family table, "and eat of my venison, that thy soul may bless me." And Esau says, "Let my father arise," suggesting that Isaac stand up and eat without any consideration for anything other than receiving the blessing for himself. "And eat of his son's venison, that my soul may bless me." Notice how Jacob speaks to his father in a spiritual, entreating way, and Esau speaks in an uncaring, worldly end. So anytime you harsh, look at somebody and say, "That ain't God." That ain't God when you speak harsh. Amen? And Jacob was in his, he's hearing the voice. And all Jacob is saying when he hears the voice, this voice is not spiritual. He ever talks to somebody and say, "This person, you can tell they're not spiritual." Why? In the way that they speak. All right? Can you believe that Isaac would have passed on the spiritual heritage and covenant blessing of Abraham unto ungodly, worldly Esau if Jacob had not intervened? Something to consider, wouldn't you say? We know through conjecture that the Lord God was leading Rebekah as she placed the goat's hair and skin in the exact place that Isaac touched on Jacob. What a mighty God we serve. She could have placed it anywhere. But God, this shows you that God is involved with the program. Right? Because she places it exactly where Isaac touches. Amen? Genesis 27:23. "And he discerned him not, because his hands were hairy as his brother Esau's hand, so he blessed him." We can learn a very valuable spiritual lesson from this verse. We should never use our natural or carnal nature to discern or recognize something spiritual. And we know 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, "The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." We are going to see again and again that Isaac's natural man completely blinds him. Are you trying to discern the spiritual things of God through your natural man? If you are, then you will be undiscerning and spiritually blind, just as Isaac was. Genesis 27:24. "And he said, Art thou my..." How many times is he going to ask him the same question? Because he knows this is not Esau. But what is he allowed to govern him? His carnal mind, his natural mind, his emotions. And every time you allow your emotions to get involved, it will take you away from God's plan. It'll make you, instead of you surrendering to God, you will fight against God. Remember the Bible says after that Jesus asked his disciple, "Whom do men say that I am?" And after Peter said it, he said, "Blessed are thou, Simon Bar-Jona, because flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven." Then he goes on to say how he's going to be crucified and die, and Peter gets in the emotions. He gets in the flesh. He said, "No, Lord, we will not let this happen," because of his emotions. The emotions will conflict with God's plan in your life. Amen. I don't care who you are, the emotions. So what did Jesus do? Jesus turned around and rebuked Satan that was speaking through Peter. He said, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things of God." Why? Because Peter was allowing his emotion to interfere with God's plan for him. Don't allow emotions to hinder God's plan for you. Amen? This shows that a feeling of uneasy suspicion yet lingered in his mind. I just want to bring out how that we can allow our natural mind to blind us in judgment. I say this because Isaac is very unsure and suspicious as to whether he's speaking to Jacob or Esau, as we will see in reading verses 18, 20, 20. Listen, all these verses. Right, 9 verses, he's not sure. After you get about 2 or 3, you should stop for the day. Let's reconsider this. 9 verses shows that he's not sure, but he still goes along, all right? 9 times Isaac allows his natural man to what? Blind his spiritual judgment or spiritual discernment. Anytime you get in the flesh, you can be assured you will go against God because the carnal mind is not subject to God. The Bible says, neither indeed what? Can be. Remember that we said in verse 1 that the phrase Isaac's eyes were dim had spiritual implications that will reveal themselves as we progress in our study of this 27th chapter. So is this have a spiritual implication? Yes. Is it revealing itself? Yes. How can you say 9 times, you just don't sound like my son, but goes along with the plan? Now I believe that we can see what the spiritual implications are. Genesis 27:25. And he said, bring it near to me, and I will eat of my son's venison, that my soul may bless thee. And he brought it near to him, and he did eat. And he brought him wine, and he drank. Isaac decides to eat and bless Jacob, even though he was not. He was what? He wasn't fully persuaded in his mind whether or not this was Jacob or. Now, Isaac, as I say, he's a godly individual. He's a godly person, but it shows even in our godliness, when we make carnal, natural decisions, we will go against what is better judgment. Right? When you get carnal, you make decisions like, just personally, don't answer it. This is for you. All right, don't tell on yourself. You ever say, you knew something was wrong, and you went along with it, and at the end you said, boy, something told me. Yes. Right? That's going to happen to all of us, right? Because you weren't being led by the Spirit. God was trying to show you something was wrong, but you kept saying, well, even though it doesn't seem right, I'm going to do it anyway. If you have a red flag, if you seem like to have a warning, if something seems like it's stopping you, stop. Don't keep going. Right? Don't make a decision. If you're in and sometimes it could be, I know years ago, I hope y'all don't know what I'm talking about. Years ago. Honestly, years ago. 2 people were about to get married. And the whole thing was just a mess. Years ago. I don't know if they're here or not. I don't know if they're there or not. I don't know where they are, but I know who they are. Seriously. So the night before the wedding, the person said, I'm going to call this thing off. This person is crazy. Then the next day they married. Everything was telling you stop. And you went ahead and did it. Why would you do something when everything in you says stop? Well, we already passed out the wedding invitation and that. But that don't change the facts. You have a warning signal in your whole system saying, don't do it. Then guess what? Don't do it. And don't ask me after who it is, because it's a whole lot of them. Amen. It's a whole lot of them. And as a matter of fact, 2 of them not even in our church now. The one called my wife and I said, can I have, we need to have a special meeting. So we said, okay, we have a meeting. And the person tells us all the reasons why they shouldn't marry the person. We didn't counsel them. Well, you remember, right? Told us all the reasons why they shouldn't marry the person. I said, well, we don't even have to counsel you. You just told us. You gave us all the answers. Then a week later, they say, yeah, we get married. It's like, how can you marry a person when you just told us all the reasons why you should get married, but you married them anyway? Those marriages never last. They never last unless God performs a miracle. So when something in you tells you to stop, guess what? Stop. Don't keep going. I think it was Bishop Golder. Was it Bishop Golder? I believe it was. I don't know who it was. This one person was working on a farm. They were working on a farm. I don't think it was Bishop Golder, but if it wasn't Bishop Golder, it was somebody. of high-ranking official in the apostolic faith. They were working on a farm, and it was late at night. And you know, back in those days, we didn't have the street lights and the lights like we have now. So they were driving a tractor, and they were going, and they said something to them, kept saying, "Stop! Don't go no further." Like, I've done this, I've driven this road so many times. The alarm went off in him so much, he just stopped. He said, "I'm gonna stop right here." He stopped and went back to the house. The next day they came out and he stopped like 3 or 4 feet from going over a cliff. Right, 3 or 4 feet. Now a big tractor going over a cliff because it was pitch black. But because they could hear the voice of God, something kept telling them, "Stop." Right? And they stopped. So it's so important. God loves us enough that when we get ready to make a mistake, he will give us a warning. Don't presume on God's mercies and go ahead anyway. When God's telling you stop, stop. Most of the time we make so many decisions based on our fear of man and people. This is going to be embarrassing. If God's telling you stop, be embarrassed now. Because if you're not embarrassed now, guess what? You'll be embarrassed. You'll be embarrassed later. All right. Let's get back to the main stuff now. 1 Corinthians 8:2 said, "If any man thinketh that he knoweth a thing, he knoweth it not yet as he what? One man esteemeth one day above another," says Romans 14:5, "and another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be not just persuaded, but what? Don't do anything unless you are fully persuaded." Amen. Because if you have any doubt in your mind, it's best to do nothing. It's best not to go forward. If you're not sure, say, "I'm not sure," don't let the devil or anybody else talk you into something that you're not sure of. You have to be fully persuaded in your own mind. Isaac eating and blessing Jacob really shows a lack of what? Spiritual discernment in Isaac, because he wasn't persuaded. He just, something in him 9 times said, "This does not seem like Esau." But he allowed his emotions to rule. Then we can also assume that the Lord God played a part in Isaac's blindness so that the purpose of God according to the election might what?
Might stand.
Not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said unto her, "The elder shall serve the younger." All right. Now let's go. That's Romans 9:11-12 talks about that. Now let's go to 26 and 27. "And his father Isaac said unto him, Come near now and kiss me, my son." Listen, he's eating. He's still in blessed, but guess what? He's still isn't sure. Why would he bless if he wasn't sure? Think about that. He's eating, he's drinking, but he's like, "Man, it's just something this doesn't seem right here." The best thing to do is stop. Don't drive your tractor over that cliff. Right? It's time for us to what? Stop. In our everyday life, when things aren't right, it's best to what? It's hard when you are put in embarrassing situations. Right? Because when you put in embarrassing situations, you're trying to figure out, do I want to deal with the shame? Or do I want to make a God decision? Always make a God decision. Amen. Always make a God decision. Like I told you, the Lord has been dealing with me with Psalms 25. When David says, "Oh my God, I trust in thee." He said, "Let me not be ashamed. I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed." He said, "Let not my enemies triumph over me." Don't let me be ashamed, because what? I trust in thee. All right. So if we're trusting in God, God won't let you be shamed. Amen. You might appear to be an embarrassment, but when you make a stand for God and you trust in God, even though it looks embarrassing, people will talk about you, God will take the crooked thing and he'll make it straight. As I told you, I have a situation that if you don't do what I say doing it against my better conscience, my judgment, then you're going to be put on the spot, because I'm not going to let you stand before the people. Right? So I have to make a decision. What do? I stand for God. Why? Because God will turn it around. Amen. If I had not made a decision, who knows if we would have agape be here now? Because I refuse to succumb to the embarrassment and the shame. Well, you can shame me, but what? Every time man put you down, God will elevate you. Just trust him. Amen. So don't go by your emotions. Let God do what God's going to do. Isaiah 27, and he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his raiment, and blessed him and said, see, the smell of my son is as the smell of the field, which the Lord had blessed. Now, let me, I don't want to go in. This verse reveals that Isaac is still being controlled by his. It also shows the providential hand of the Lord God at work, as he had Rebekah so perfectly equipped Jacob with everything from the venison to the goat skin hair and the special clothing which had Esau's smell in them. And then, and the real intriguing part about Rebekah having Esau's clothes, Esau no longer lived at home. He wasn't there. He was married. He had two wives. But just imagine how God makes preparation. Even though he wasn't there, for some reason God laid it on Rebekah's heart, keep some of his clothes. Because he wasn't there. Oh, when you move out, do y'all ever keep any of y'all kids' clothes? He's like, keep them clothes. Everything is yours. Right? But Rebekah kept back these clothes. How long? We don't know how long she had. And most of the time, listen, if you had the smell of the field in it, y'all ever smell like wild meat, wild animals? They don't smell so hot. Seriously. So the thing is this, if she had the clothes, why wouldn't she at least clean them? I'm just saying, you see the hand of God at work? She never washed the clothes, she kept the clothes, and they still had the smell of the field in them. Well, God's plan. So I'm saying, it's just amazing how God so marvelously, in his providence and wisdom, led Rebekah to do everything right. Why? Because Rebekah had an ongoing relationship with God. She talked to God. Jacob talked to God. And God talked to Rebekah. Amen. And later on, we're going to see, right around the last couple of verses of this chapter, we're going to see that God has to reveal something additional to. Now, I'm going to tell y'all so y'all will look for it. See if you can find it. Before next time, we won't get there tonight. God has to reveal something additional to Rebekah. Amen. That's it. I ain't gonna need no more clues. Near the end of the chapter, so don't read from the beginning, it's going to the end. All right, let's keep going. All right. Therefore, God give thee of the dew of heaven, and the fatness of the earth, and plenty of corn and wine. The Hebrew Hey Elohim, for God has a definite article, and thus he knows God as judge and ruler. Set him apart from and above all other Elohim, because Elohim is the plural of God, so Elohim could be the mighty God or it could be small gods. Right? So the definite God of Hey Elohim sets him apart from all other gods, sets him as his ruler and judge. When he was dealing with God, he said, shall not the judge of what? All the earth do right. Right? This is setting him apart from all other gods. Amen? The blessing is an established reality decreed by the King of the universe, the judge of all things. The grain and the wine, while understood to become a literal reality, are also symbolic of both necessities, grain, our bread, daily bread, and pleasures, wine, celebration of life. A spiritual hint at something deeper also seems to be inferred. The dew of heaven is symbolic of emra, which is word essence of God, and with regards to watering and the earth and fattening the land, the rain represents God, lekah, which means receive instruction. God give thee the dew of heaven. This phraseology implies the highest flow of prosperity. The end result being the proclamation and reality of the greatness of our God, of God, our Judge and King, His Messiah the Rock, His perfect redemptive work. Genesis 27:29, let people serve thee and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren, and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be everyone that what? Curses thee, and blessed be he that blesses thee. Let people serve thee. Up to this point, the blessing had been general, but now Isaac bestows the birthright, carrying with it widespread dominion, precedence over all other members of the family, and special blessedness. The phrase, thy brethren and thy mother's son, include all nations sprung from Abraham and all possible offshoots from Isaac's own descendants. This portion of the blessing confers the perpetual blessing of Abraham upon Jacob. Cursed be everyone that what? And blessed be he that blesseth thee. That's Genesis 12:3. The blessing of the Abrahamic covenant was a perpetual blessing that was upon Jacob and Israel, who was Jacob's son. Numbers 22:12. Like I said, a lot of this has scriptures we've been dealing with recently. That's why I want to use it. And God said to Balaam, thou shalt not go with them. Thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed. Isaiah 61:9. And their seed shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offspring among the people. All that see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the seed which the Lord has blessed. All the nations will one day bow before Jacob's great son, our greatest son, and we know his greatest son is who? Jesus Christ. Genesis 27:30. And it came to pass, as soon as Isaac had made an end of blessing Jacob, and Jacob was scarce gone out, remember Yasa, from the presence of Isaac his father, that Esau his brother came in from his hunting. The doubling of the Hebrew word Yasa translated just going out can mean one passed by the other. One going out and one going in. This seemed to suggest that the brothers came face to face as they passed one another, Jacob exiting and Esau entering. This makes the scene all the more intense. Amen? Now, I mentioned when Esau saw Jacob, he's like, wait a minute, I know I saw that birthright. As Max said, that rascal, and I took my blessing. Right? Because they pass each other is what Yasa means. All right? Genesis 27:31. He also had made savory meat and brought it unto his father, and said unto his father, let my father arise and eat of his son's venison, that thy soul may bless me. Now, Jacob wanted his father to sit down and just relax. Esau wanted it in a hurry. You know why? Because he knew he wasn't supposed to get the birthright. He said, just sit down and hurry and eat. Right? Remember Jacob said, sit down, my father, relax. You gonna eat? Esau's like, let's get to the point. We ain't here for nothing but the blessing. Hurry up, just stand up and eat, and then he couldn't even see. Right? I'm just saying, it shows you how their natures were so contrary, right? So different. Notice the contrast, as I stated earlier, between Esau's approach to his father eating the savory meat and Jacob's approach. Esau was in so much of a hurry. Could it be because he had just passed Jacob and wanted to get the blessing before Jacob came back in? To get the blessing, that he showed no compassion by asking his father to stand up and eat so that he could bless him. 27:32, and Isaac his father said unto him, who art thou? And he said, I am thy son, thy firstborn Esau. All right. Now, he said, this is kind of strange, right? Because when he's talking to Jacob, he asked Jacob, who art thou, my son? And he's speaking to Esau, he said, who are you? Right? You have to notice what he said. Really? He said, who are you, my son? Then when Esau come in, he's like, who are you? He doesn't call him his son. Does he say, my son? No, said Isaac, I see Esau, who art thou? And not who art thou, my son, as he asked Jacob in Genesis 27:18. This shows that Isaac is now in a state of complete confusion. He is perplexed. He don't know what's going on. Right? He has to know Esau's voice, right? Because when he talked to Jacob, he said, you don't sound like my son Esau, you sound like Jacob. So he had to know Esau's voice. So when Esau comes in, some kind of way, God plays a mind game on his ears. He don't even know who he's talking to. Isn't this intriguing? I mean, it is to me. If you knew my voice before, you ought to know it now. Right? I'm just saying, this is how the story goes. Anyway. All right, let's see. It said, this shows that Isaac and Dan is seen of confusion or perplexity because early he told Jacob that he really sounded like Esau. Therefore, he knew Esau's voice. And Isaac trembled very exceedingly and said, where is he that has taken venison and brought it me? And I have eaten of all before thou camest that have blessed him, yea, and he shall be blessed. Why did Isaac tremble very exceedingly? The power of blessing resides within the one who blesses. All blessings come from God. And the Isaac is. So he knows that, no, wait a minute. God didn't stop me. God allowed me to bless Jacob. Think of it. Now, he knows the blessing had to come from who? Now he's dealing with Esau, but Jacob took the blessing. And he knows the blessing has to come from God. So in his mind, he's like, wait a minute. God, how could you allow me to bless Jacob and not Esau? Right? Isaac is going through. Godly man, he's going through. Seriously. He's all messed up. He can't figure out what's going on. Right, so he figured that if God blessed him, Jacob has to be right. But how could God bless Jacob, who was wrong, and not bless Esau, who's supposed to be right? These are the questions you have to ask. This is what was going on in his mind. All right, he had favored Esau, even though Esau had grieved him by marrying outside of the family. Yet he still had intended to bless Esau, nonetheless. With the dawning of the knowledge that he may have blessed Esau's brother in his place, Isaac trembled because he knew that the one whom God had blessed is blessed, and that God keeps his word. All right? In Numbers 23:19. Now you have to wonder. Remember that Isaac and Rebecca have been married for a long time. You think, we know up to this point, Rebecca had not told Isaac about what the Lord had told her. We would hope that after he did this, that Rebecca said, well, the reason this happened is because the Lord had told me that the older would serve the younger. It never says it in scripture, but you would hope that eventually she would have told. Amen? All right. Isaac trembled because he knew this. Numbers, we know God's not a man that he should lie. He says, blessed, I cannot reverse it. Thus Isaac says, yea, and he shall be blessed. Why? Because he knew that once God blessed, no one could reverse it. Alright? Genesis 27:34. When Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry, and said unto his father, bless me, even me also, my father. Now remember Gadal. Esau cries with an exceeding, just as his father Isaac had trembled exceedingly. Esau cries out exceedingly and says unto his father, bless me, even me also, my father. Now the question is, why would he be so persistent to get a blessing when he knew he had sold the birthright? He knew he wasn't supposed to have the blessing because he sold the birthright. He said, what is this birthright going to do me? I'm at the point of death. So he knew that they had made an agreement, he had sold the birthright, but he's still trying to force the blessing. He whom God has blessed is blessed, and no one can reverse it. All right? But we read earlier that he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. Right, Hebrews 12, 17, for ye know how that after when he would have inherited the blessing, he was what? Rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. Genesis 27, 35. And he said, thy brother came of subtlety. Alright? Now, it's important, as I said, when you do a word study, I've been doing a lot of different word studies. It's amazing how we have one word that covers a whole spectrum of things. And Hebrews have different words for everything, right? Like I was just reading the other day, even in the Greek, when it says and, a lot of times and means kai, k-a-i, means and, even, also, but. Then there's sometimes and does not mean that. Sometimes that and means the word, di, I think it's dio, do, it means in opposition against, right? It means in opposition against. For instance, I said it's amazing how we need to know what we're reading and not spit it out there. Because when Jesus makes his, he's dealing with the disciples about the 5,000 that need to eat. And they come up to him, so Jesus has been healing them. Jesus is healing all of them and doing all that he's doing. And everyone that comes to him, he's healing. Then his disciples come to him and say, but, Master, it's time to send the people away. So he's healing. They want to interrupt them to send them away. That and or but does not mean and. It means that they acted in opposition to what God was doing. So it's important that when we're studying God's word, study the word so we know what the words mean. Because our words, we have one word that covers everything, but the Hebrew and the Greek has very specific words and terminology. Amen? All right, so now he says subtlety is the Hebrew word mirmah, has two meanings, to deceive, fraud, beguile, and it also means wisdom, and has taken away thy blessing. Most Jewish Bibles interpret the Hebrew mirmah as wisdom, thus reading, your brother came with, what does wisdom now come from? Huh. Right, so, Isaac says your brother came with wisdom. The Bible says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask who? God to give it to all men, liberally and upbraideth not. This wisdom cometh not from above, right? So wisdom comes from who? God. So Isaac said, wait a minute. Your brother wasn't deceitful, he came in wisdom. Right? That's why you need to hold the word speak. Subtlety, because we think when we see subtlety, we think like the who was subtle and crafty. The devil. Right? So you need to know what the words mean. So don't just spit it all out and then have to come back and take it back later. Thus reading, matter of fact, we were at the evangelist apartment, we were at the thing. This one guy said he'd be there when people start preaching. He said he'd be so far off he just start dooming. He said all the people in the church watch him. That's what he said. He said people, he said all these people being there hollering and screaming and stuff. He said he'd be so far off. He said, man, he don't even be looking up. I think we did it just right. He said, so when the saints see him not look, pay attention, he said, is that preacher way off there, pay attention. Right. So there are some people that know when you're preaching, you can't just be pull over the eyes. He said, if you're gonna preach to me, preach the truth. Don't be telling me words that ain't in the Bible and making up stuff. He said, when the saints in my church see that I'm just doing, when they preaching, he said, they all start doing. That's a bad thing, isn't it? You're in the church preaching, everybody doing. Except for the people that don't know better. Paul, you remember that guy? That's the one he said had the Mr. Biden. He's a doctor, too. He's a big wig. Not a little wig, he's a big wig. All right, most Jewish Bible interpret the Hebrew mirmah as wisdom. Thus reading, your brother came with wisdom. Once again, this suggests that Jacob was not a deceiver or a supplanter. The scripture states in Psalms 111:10, the fear of the Lord is what? The beginning of wisdom. A good understanding of all that do his commandment. Right? So wisdom shows a fear of God. Isaac acknowledged, just a few more minutes, Isaac acknowledged that Jacob was acting under what? The the divine leading of the Lord. We have to be careful not to misinterpret what is taking place in this verse. By the way, this is the first time in the scripture where anyone is said to have sold their birthright. Remember that the birthright is the firstborn had a sacred nature which was directly tied to it. The birthright guaranteed the firstborn the physical wealth of his father's house and also the spiritual legacy that his birthright carried. I think we can stop there. All right, Lord willing, we pick up from the 36th verse. All right? Because that gets us about halfway through, then we have another half, hopefully next week. Amen. Any questions? Any questions? Any comments? Yes, sir. Oh, let me get your mic.
The real picture of when the twins are born, all right,
that Esau comes out first, and they said that the struggle is this. The reason Jacob had hold of the heel is Jacob knew he was supposed to be the firstborn, even in the womb. So he grabbed the heel trying to pull him back so he could go out first. That's what his name means. That's what Jacob means, heel catcher. It was a struggle. He was pursuing what God had called him to do, even in the womb. So he grabbed the heel, not because he wanted his brother to help him out. He grabbed the womb so he could bring his brother back in because he wanted to be born first. So the struggle, that's why God told him that the struggle is in the womb, because the younger is going to rule over the older, and the older is going to serve the younger. So Esau, even out the womb, thought he was going to be first. So that's why he had a hole in that heel. Jacob said, I'm supposed to be first. I'm supposed to be number one. Amen. Somebody else said it? All right. Amen. So that's good. So it's y'all study. Now find out near the end of the chapter what the other thing is. Those are the inquisitive. All right. Inquisitive. Find out the other time when the Lord asked to speak to talk to Rebecca. And what I find really remarkable about this. And after this, there's very little mention of Rebecca or Isaac after this chapter. Very little. Even in, Genesis, I forget which chapter it is. It talks about Deborah, Rebecca's nurse, being buried. But it doesn't talk about Rebecca. But we know that they were still buried. They were still buried in the tomb with Abraham and Sarah. So it's just, why God does what God does, we don't know, right? But who are we to question his judgment? God knows what he's doing, amen? Do we have any other comments? If not, let us stand. Do we have prayer? We have so much to pray about. So much sicknesses, so many tragedies in families, so many health challenges, conditions. We just have so much to pray about. And like I said, the reason I want to go over this tonight is because we don't want to be another idol. Allow our emotions, our carnal mind, our natural man to make us go against our better judgment. Right? God gives you judgment. And sometimes you just need to stop and say, wait a minute. If you would stop and place yourself out before it happens, you know it's time to stop, right? But once you get engaged in the wrong decision, it's hard to change it because you're dealing with the embarrassment of people. And we went over it the other day in Galatians 1:10, he said, who do we seek to please? Man, or do we want to please God? Right? Who favor do we want, man's favor or God's favor? Man can give us a little bit, but God can give us eternal life. So we should always seek God's favor. So in our quest to go forward, we should always ask God, Lord, what would thou have me to do? It's all after he had done all he had done. After he created havoc and burden and did all he did. Finally, when the Lord finally got to him, he said, Lord, what will thou have me to do? And then when God told, the wonderful thing is when you submit to God, you don't question God and ask him why. Because God stopped him on the way to Damascus, then after he stopped him in blind, he said, man, keep going to Damascus. Right? I was like, man, if you stop me, I need to go back. Right? So we don't understand God's wisdom. But that's why it's important to say, Lord, what do you want me to do? Then when he tells you what to do, don't say, well, why should I do this? Right? Because we don't know. Right? His thoughts are above our thoughts, his ways are above our ways. And this is, we're living in a very dangerous time spiritually. In the church, people are just being deceived and they're following everything that ain't God. Right? You can't dance to all the music. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when Nebuchadnezzar played the music, they said, no, we're not going to bow down to strange music. Right? So the problem with the church today is there are not enough Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. A lot of church are bowing down to the strange music. Well, the strange music won't get you to heaven. The only way that's going to get you to heaven is obeying God. Right? So we need to just stop for a little while and have some quiet time with God. Sometimes, you know, you need to just turn everything off and spend time with God. Then spend the time with God, let God talk to you. Jesus, on three or four separate occasions, went and prayed all night long. Why would Jesus have to pray all night long being God? Think about that. Why would he have to pray all night long being God? Right? Because it was a model for us. When he had to choose the 12 apostles, he prayed all night long. Then the next day, he chose them. We need to stop making so many impromptu decisions, and we need to pray. Right? So how long pray till you get an answer? If you don't get an answer, then don't do nothing. Right? And your answer don't come from a person. God will speak to you either through his word or through your prayer life. So we need to stop doing things so impromptu, because we ever are well, our emotions tell us to do it. We need to just stop. He said, be still and what? Know. Right? So our question is, a lot of us are doing stuff, but do we know? Be still and know that I'm God. Be still and know that I'm in this with you, all right? Do we have anyone that needs prayer anything before this message? If not, let us pray. Heavenly Father,